And so our hearts to you tonight is to bring you together, welcome you into this house, set the table, prepare the meal, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Because you are heaven's treasure, and you are God's daughters. And we love you with all of our hearts. And so tonight, I wanted to just share a short little devotion with you. It's not going to be long. Do you believe me? No. We're just going from Genesis to Revelation. It shouldn't take too much time. But I want to tell you just a couple of stories. So, Father, I thank you tonight, once again, for the incredible privilege of being girls in the house. That we look like you, Father. Tonight, Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd speak about him. That you'd open our eyes, open our hearts. May we step back and take a breath at the wonder of Christmas. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. A long, long, long time ago, I turned 60 in November, and it was the never-ending birthday around here. I'm sure many of you were kind of tired of Pastor Deborah's birthday. I know I was. Nothing like slipping into your 60s quietly. But a long time ago, when I was a young woman in my 20s, and you know my testimony, most of you do, drugs and too many men and too much sin and just too many wrong choices. A throwaway woman. I was a throwaway woman. I was one of those girls that had made too many wrong choices. And I'd been raised in the church. My mom was the secretary to the Baptist pastor, Pastor Norris. And so I grew up in Sunday school, and I learned the Bible stories, and Mrs. Norris, his wife, and the flannel board, and all the hymns. And today I can't hear a hymn and not cry because I think about my mom, who dragged me to church every Sunday and Wednesday night. So if you're dragging your children to church, don't stop. That is your job, to keep them alive and drag them to church. But when I had come back to the Lord and when I had gotten this gift on Valentine's Day from the man that I was living with, and it was a yoga class. And so I went to the YMCA to do yoga, and it was just a mess. I knew it was a mess. I knew I couldn't stay in that class. It was stupid. It was boring. And as I'm walking out, I see in a little room in the YMCA in Santa Barbara, just a group of young people just raising their hands and praising God. And I said, whatever they're doing, I'm going to that class next Thursday night. And I did, and that started my adventure with Jesus Christ. And he washed me and cleansed me. I went into that little room and God saved me and brought me home and washed me and cleansed me and cleaned me all up. And I remember that in that period of my life, because Miranda and I were living with someone and it wasn't right, I had to move and I had to find a home for us. Miranda was just 8 years old at the time, my oldest. And so the pastor, Greg Meeks, invited us to come and live with him in his home. And he rented a big old Victorian house in Santa Barbara and invited a bunch of people to come and live with him. It was 1978 and the Vietnam War was over and we were scared, but we moved into that house and there I began this incredible adventure of hearing God's voice. And my life completely changed. And it was during that time, that Christmas, that a Christmas card was given to me. And this Christmas card, I still remember it today, and you're looking at it actually, or something like it, on the posters. There was a picture of a baby's feet. And then there was a picture of sandals. And then there was the scripture. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. And as you opened up the Christmas card, it said, Merry Christmas. He's come. I never forgot it. And so I felt that it would be appropriate this year to approach Christmas maybe in a different way and to look at this Christmas card once again And every Christmas, I'm usually up here preparing you on how not to kill your family. How to actually put a Christmas meal on the table and not have an emotional meltdown. And it's about us serving others. But tonight, I want to look at this scripture. And I want to look at who he is, what he's done, and what he's asking of us. Because there is one coming, John the Baptist said. When they asked him if he was the Messiah, he said, no, but one is coming who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. And I want to talk tonight about this one. Who is he? The one that came. Jesus. I'm looking at Psalm chapter 33, and I'm going to just read from here if I can put my glasses on. And why I think this is so important to us girls is because something amazing happened at Christmas. If you go all the way back to the fall of man, when our mother Eve took of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and she was deceived by Satan, she ate of the fruit, she handed that piece of fruit to her husband, he ate of it and they fell, and sin entered the world. And immediately they were afraid, they hid from the presence of God, and you know the story, and so do I. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And life unraveled, and everything that God had made that was good now unraveled. And the authority and the title deed of planet Earth, because God had given it to Adam and to Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue and have dominion of the earth. And when Satan came into that garden, and through that serpent deceived that woman, and she allowed the lust of her heart, the desire of her heart, to look at that fruit that God had said, don't eat it. If you eat it, you're going to die. And when Satan said, you're not going to die, it's going to make you wise. It's going to make you absolutely like God. And when her desire to be like God apart from God, because it was a heart test, when her desire picked that fruit, and when she took a piece of that fruit and she brought the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she brought it to her lips, and she partook and she ate, at that moment in time, she died. She was separated from God, because that's what death is, separation. Then she handed it to her husband. So the influence that God gave her now was twisted. And so she encouraged the man now to join her in deception. And as Adam partook of that fruit, knowing exactly what he was doing, and as they realized that they were naked and that they were absolutely, completely bare butt naked now, they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves up because something was missing now from their lives. Everything unraveled at that point in time. Their relationship unraveled. Their connection with God unraveled. Adam began to accuse Eve. Eve accused the serpent. Nobody took responsibility for the sin that they'd just committed. And all of a sudden, mankind, the only couple, the only family on the planet yet, was hurled into the sin nature, and Satan was handed the title deed of planet Earth. Now, what really bugs me about this story is that Mom started the whole thing. She literally ate him out of house and home. Took you a while, but that bothers me. And I can't get away from it. I can't excuse it. I mean, we're just flat guilty. Girls, we're just guilty, 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 guilty. Period. But what I loved is that in Genesis chapter 3, when God then comes and he begins to speak to them and gives them the consequence of their action, he speaks to the man, he speaks to the woman, and he speaks to the serpent. He says to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he says to the serpent, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his feet. And at that point in time, God then lets slip through prophecy and through his word The plan that had been made before they ever fell and before we ever screwed anything up. He said, listen, Satan, there's one coming. There's one coming. There's one coming who is mighty. And he is going to crush your head, even though you will bruise his heel. And he will be of the seed of the woman. And I'm putting a war between you and her seed. And there we have the first messianic prophecy of the coming Messiah. And girls, we pioneered sin, but because God's a God of restoration, he used woman to pioneer redemption. Because he's a full restorer. He's the God that takes a broken life. He takes a life that is messed up, a life that can't fix what's been done. A life that has made so many wrong choices that you can't ever dig yourself out of it. And he takes that life and he buys that life back. And he says, I'm going to use that life. And I'm going to use it to partner with me to bring the salvation of the world. And he used woman to bring in the Messiah. Now that's why I like to gather you together, because we're women. And this is about us. And this is about the miracle of Christmas. And it's about what happened and who he is. So, let's talk about who he is. The Word of God says, now, if you'll go with me, to Psalm chapter 33. I just want to read just a couple of verses here. Verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them, and by the breath of his mouth. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the hosts of them. And the breath of his mouth. He is a star breather. The word says that when he opens his mouth, that he breathed forth creation. And he spoke forth creation. In Hebrews, it says that he is the express image of God. That he's the exact duplicate. He's the replica. He is the earth version. We've never seen God, but there's one coming that's going to be God and all man, and he's going to show us what God is like. And that when he had by himself redeemed us, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Who is he? He's a star breather. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one that has formed everything that is seen and everything that is not seen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 17 says, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Who is this Jesus? He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's God. He made everything that we can see and everything that we can't see. He is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word of God clearly tells us in Psalm 33, if I can just go back there, says, verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the hosts of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know, sometimes you and I just need to get a bigger picture of who our Jesus is. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of who this is that walked the earth, that stepped out of eternity. The one that made the heavens and the earth. The one that Isaiah said stretches out the heavens like a curtain, a piece of cloth. I'm not a scientist and I'm not a mathematician. And my way of balancing a checkbook is to just let it settle down and open up another one. So, math has never been a strong point in my life, but I can tell you that when the Word of God tells us who he is, it uses the heavens as an illustration of how great and how vast the Word that was made flesh, His name is Jesus, is. Now, the universe is so large that we can only measure it by what we call light years. Now, a light year is the speed that light travels in 1 year. Light travels at 186,272 miles per second. The sunshine that we are enjoying today is 30,000 years old. It took that long for it to get to us. So, who is He? He's the creator of heaven and earth, and He's bigger and mightier and more awesome than you and I can wrap a finite little girl mind around. So that's who He is. What has He done? And that's what Christmas is all about. And this is where the woman piece for me comes in every year. What's amazing to me is that the God that created everything, that has made a universe that is so vast and so large that you and I can't even comprehend it. It's like looking at these particles of glitter. He just breathed and stars flew out of His mouth, and the universe was created. And yet there was a moment in time when time stopped, and God said, "Thou art My Son. This day I have created you." And the Creator of heaven and earth stepped out of eternity, stepped out of the glory and the power and the majesty and the honor of being Creator of heaven and earth. And He became the seed of the woman and the seed of God in the womb of a virgin, and became a man for you and me. And He had baby feet. It's amazing to me that the one that flung out the stars had amniotic fluid in His eyes and in His ears and all over Him. I had the privilege of watching Chloe be born with Jess. I've been there with every one of the kids. And I remember, you know, I had three kids, but I never got to see them born because I was always at the wrong end. We're going deep, aren't we? Yeah. So when I was with Jess and Dan in the delivery room and I was watching Chloe come, I said something, and Jess and Dan couldn't believe what I said as she was crowning and as she was coming forth. This is going to embarrass Jess, but she's already told everybody. She said I could say this. I said, "Oh my gosh, I see the gates of life." And Dan looked at Jessica, and Jessica looked at Dan and said, "Oh no, she didn't say that, did she?" Mom, you cannot go deep when I'm about ready to give birth. But I want to show you something, because we just looked at just a snapshot of who He is. His curtains are the universe. I don't know about you, but that blows me away. That's my God. That's my King. He stretches out the universe. He breathes the stars out. And I got problems that He can't fix? Come on, somebody. But what really, really amazes me is that He wore diapers and that He came through the gates of life, legally, as the last Adam. Now, it says in John, the 10th chapter, and I want to show this to you. And He used woman to do it. She pioneered sin. She was going to pioneer with God redemption. And it says in John, the 10th chapter, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you," and I'm going to read this in the NIV Bible because it uses the word gate. "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs up by some other way is a thief and a robber." Here's Jesus talking to the church, to His disciples. He says, "Listen, I'm telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber." Now, he's about to tell us who the thief and the robber is. You see, Satan did not come legally into this planet. Satan didn't purchase one thing. He didn't sacrifice one thing for humanity. He stole through deception and through the lust of the human being and the heart of the human. He stole the title deed of earth and wrapped humanity in sin and slavery. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, this is what blows me away, is that God knew that there was only one way to buy us back. There was only one way to get us out of slavery that had been sold over to Satan, who usurped the authority by deception and treachery. He knew that he had to come legally into this planet, which is through the birth canal. That's why I said, oh my gosh, the gates of life. Because you see, the womb of a woman is the gate of life into this earth. My friend Cheryl says that death on earth is merely the womb of heaven or the womb of hell. But to come legally into this planet, you have to come as a human, because God gave this planet to man and woman made in his image. So here comes the one that created heaven and earth, girls, who flings out the stars with the breath of his mouth. He steps out of the honor and the majesty of all that he is. And he identifies so much with you and I that he literally becomes a man. And he enters through legal way to be the last Adam, through the birth canal of the Virgin. And he is born by the Holy Spirit on this planet, an O Holy Night. The one that was born is all God and all man. He has stepped into our shoes, our human shoes, so that we can step into his shoes and be daughters of God. That's amazing. That's amazing. You see, you have a Savior that absolutely gets you. You've got one that's so identified with you that he left everything and came and walked on this planet, fully man and fully God, going to that cross for you and I, so that he could pay the price to buy us back, first of all, and make us daughters again. You know, the throwaway girls that had sinned and had no way back to God. He wasn't and couldn't live without us. He couldn't, so he came. You don't have a man in your life? Oh, yes, you do. You've got the man in your life. The man. The one that gets you, the one that knows you, the one that has experienced everything you will ever experience. Every broken piece, every broken heart, every disappointment, every bad report. Whatever life is handing you, you have a Savior who has already walked through that process of life for you and is now here to get you through it, to rescue you, to cause you to become strong women of God so that you can stand on the earth, redeemed and restored as daughters of the King. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, who is he? Creator of heaven and earth. What has he done? He is so identified with us that he's become a man. There is a man seated at the right hand of the Father. His name is Jesus. He still bears his scars in his hands and in his feet. And I don't know if you can see this poster, but it says, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. And there's the sandals of a man, but there behind it are the feet of the Savior on the cross. You see, so much happens at his feet. So much life comes when we come to the feet of our King. That widow woman that had nothing, when she came to the feet of Jesus Christ, she had everything. That little Canaanite whose daughter was vexed with a demon and she was absolutely distraught and there was nothing she could do and she was a Gentile and not a Jew and she cried out after Jesus and the disciples said, "Shut her up, she is making a racket." And she just kept saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, mercy on me." She screamed out at him. Finally, she runs to his feet. She says, "Help me, Lord." And he says, "I can't give of the bread of the children to the little dogs." He called her a little dog. She said, "Truth, Lord. I'm a Canaanite. I'm a Gentile. I'm outside the covenant of Israel," because he was just letting her know where she was at. But she said, "I just need one little crumb, because you give the whole loaf to Israel. I just need a crumb, because even the little dogs lick the crumbs off the floor. And I'm only asking you for a crumb, Jesus, because I know who you are. And one crumb is enough to heal my daughter." And Jesus said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Your daughter is healed." One crumb. One crumb. We've got the entire bread of life. It's the church of the living God. What is it in your life that he cannot impact and change and move heaven and earth to do what you need done? Is it a marriage that's destroyed? Children that have gone south? A doctor's report of cancer? Is it a dead womb? What is it? He flings the stars like curtains. He breathes the universe. Who is this amazing God, and what has he done? He is your high priest. He is the captain of your salvation. He is the firstborn from the dead. Do you know we don't have to be afraid of dying? Death is nothing more than the womb of heaven, and we leave this and we enter into eternity and we see him as he is and we're known as we've been known. It's the greatest day for a Christian because we go home. We don't have to fear dying. We don't have to fear sickness and disease. We don't have to fear recession or poverty or being out in the street. There is not one thing you, darling daughter of God, have to fear, because the one who so identified with you that he left heaven and became a man has now purchased you with his blood, and every promise that he's handed to you is washed and it's purchased in his blood, and it's yes and amen if you can believe it. Girls, this Christmas, right now, tonight, this thing is about you and your Savior. God spoke to me. He said, "I want you to tell them who I am. I want you to tell them what I've done. That I am the high priest of their confession. I am the captain of their salvation. I am the truth. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am their redeemer. I am their restorer. I am their reconciler. I am that I am has come. He has come. He has already come. And everything you will ever need in your life, every longing of your soul, he has for you." So he said, "Tell him who I am. Tell him what I've done. And then tell him what I need them to do." When I was in Miami about a month ago, 2 months ago, at a conference with Lisa Gilfillan, and it was a Hispanic church, and the pastor, Frank, he had a meal for us, and we were having a meal, and he said, "I want you to meet my sister." He said, "She's responsible for bringing me to the Lord, and Pastor Frank and Zeta have an amazing Spanish-speaking church in Miami and incredible work of God. And this lovely woman of about 50-some-odd years old was introduced to me. And I looked at her, and she's a pastor on staff at an English-speaking church, and her pastor is a woman. And she's never been married. She's single, and she has served God all these years. And she has brought every member of her family, they're from Cuba, every member of that family she's brought to the Lord. And from that family, there are pastors and apostles and just amazing ministry gifts in that family. And it's all because this one woman got saved, and she was willing to bring her family to Jesus like the woman at the well. You see, God loves women. And I asked her, I said, how did you get this life? And she said this to me. She said, I simply fell in love. I simply fell in love. And when God spoke to me about this GNO, he said, tell them who I am, tell them what I've done, and tell them what I need them to do. And that's what he told me to tell you. That like Pastor Frank's precious sister, he needs his girls to simply fall in love. Because when you begin to fall in love with the one that has loved you beyond anything you will ever know. That's why Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians that you would know the love of God. That you would know the length of it, the breadth of it, the depth of it, the height of it. That you would know by experience how beloved you are by the King. That it would change you and cause you to grow and mature. And you would be filled with the very fullness of Almighty God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that you could hope or ask or think, be glory in the church forever. He prayed that over the church. That you would know how loved you are. And that you would respond to the bridegroom with love back. Because when you simply fall in love, you don't want to leave him. I'm in love with my husband. I have simply fallen in love with that man. I don't want to look at anybody else. The thought would be repulsive to me. Repulsive to me. Because I love him and him alone. I want to do what he asked me to do. I want to please him. I want to serve him. I want to study him. I want to know him. Because he's my husband. I love him. I've fallen in love with him. How much more does the bridegroom of heaven want the bride to fall in love with him? So that when he asks us to do things, it's not hard, but we want to do it because we love him. That's why he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You see, girls, when you go to your homes tonight and you face the problems of life, the relationships that have gone sour, the fear of finances that has been on your homes and your lives, the loss of things or the death of a child or the breakup of a marriage or the problems of just everyday living, no matter how life gets, do you just notice how you can still be unhappy and you can find problems? Has anybody experienced that besides me? Remember to simply fall in love. Because when he says, I need you to reverence your husband, and he's acting like a bozo, and you don't want to reverence the man. You want to put him out. Tell him to go. God says, when they don't obey the word of God, this is when I need you to come under the authority of reverence, to esteem him, prize him, admire him, be devoted to him, deeply prize him. But how can I do that when he's acting that way? Because it's the power of love that's going to pull him back into the kingdom of God. You see, we don't do that because it's easy. We do that because we've simply fallen in love. When I'm a single woman and my heart's longing for a man just to be held, just to be touched, just to be loved. And there's somebody knocking on my door, calling me all the time, texting me. But I know he's not born of the Spirit of God. You see, I need to simply fall in love with the one that loves me and say, no, thank you. No, thank you. When you go to the doctor and you get that mammogram and they call you and say, there's something wrong. Fear wants to grip your heart. The unthinkable happens. Cancer is found in your body. And here comes the sentence of death. Here comes the sentence of surgery and destruction. And your heart wants to fail for fear. Remember to simply fall in love with the one who's already told you that he is Jehovah Rapha, your healer, and that his promises are yes and amen. Fear not. He's the healer. And he will get you through this. But it will be a fight of faith. But he will give you the power and the grace to fight the fight and to win the fight. Simply fall in love with the captain of your salvation.